I'd like to thank each one that's come out tonight to hear the gospel meeting. I'd like to read first in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, the first book of your Bible. Genesis chapter 3. Sometimes we get in a situation in life and we kind of have to stand back and ask ourselves, how did we get here? What brought this on? What are the events that took place to get us where we are? Well, most days we can roll out of bed in the morning, you know, and be pretty happy with our life and the way things are going, and things go pretty good. But we see the evidence of sin and bad decisions and things in our life. Things aren't always as smooth as they could be. And although we live in a pretty good land here, there are signs in this world that something drastic has happened to change the trajectory of the human race from a plateau. I shouldn't say a plateau, because there was no measurement on how perfect the human race could have gotten. Well, I guess perfection is just that, perfection. To what we see today, to the homelessness, to the overcapacity jails, to the filled cemeteries, and the sorrows and the troubles of this world today. And maybe you've asked yourself that sometime. How did we get here? How did this all happen? And what's in store? We're going to read in Genesis chapter 3. This is after the creation of the earth, animals, atmosphere, everything you see, and everything I take for granted every day, and everything that I enjoy. This is after the world, the universe as we know it. And there man is on the scene, and then eventually woman. And there they are as a couple. And they're paired as the other animals. Adam looked at, he was given a task to look at these animals and to give them names. And he'd see them coming by pair, male and female. And I think he actually, by the wording of the Bible, I think he actually, it dawned on him, where's a mate for me? Where's someone for me? And woman was created. And there they were, the two of them, in perfect creation. Chapter 3 and verse 1, here comes the trouble. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts in the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? So we can understand from this that it was a common occurrence up to that point. We don't know how many days that man was on the earth. I don't think too many. And there, Adam and Eve. Eve was deceived by the serpent. That's clear. Eve was deceived, but she gave unto her husband of the fruit. Eat with me. Here. Take part in this too. And he knew. He wasn't deceived. He knew. And he was thinking, I just got a mate. I love her. I just got this woman. You know, all the other creatures of this earth have a mate, and I don't. You know, I finally have a mate, and now this happened. And maybe, I don't know, maybe that was the decision. I'm not going to throw a bunch of maybes out there. The sure thing, the truth of it is that this is when sin entered into the world. And God came down and he said, Where art thou? He was probably used to them coming out in the open, running towards him. They would hear God coming down in the cool of the day to share company with them. We learn in the Bible that we're created for God's pleasure. So there God come down certain time of the day and commune with man, and everything was good until this one day, and God came and he couldn't find them. But God knowing all, this was a question not of really of where are you. It was a drawing out question, wanting man to come clean for what he did. God knew it all. So in life, if we want to know where we are, we look to a map. You could call this a map. It's an artist's depiction of verses in the Bible which all join together, and that one act in the garden that brought us to this point. Everyone born on the broad way. From Adam and Eve, every living human that has ever been born and ever will be, born of man and woman, has been born in the broad way because of sin. Because Adam and Eve sinned, we're all made sinners. It's passed down. So that's our location on the map. God said, Where are you? He was hiding. He was guilty. He felt guilty, and he didn't want to face God. Our neighbor, when she's a grown-up girl now, grown-up lady, I should say, but when she was a little girl, like this high, she did something wrong, and she hid herself. It was strange for her. I always thought she was like the perfect little child. She was a great girl. She hid herself. There was a toy room in the house where they stored all the toys and this and that, and a bunch of teddy bears in the corner. And she hid herself among these teddy bears and covered herself all over. And we got the call that I think was in the afternoon. And have you seen Meg? Have you seen her? You know, we don't know where she is. And we went looking, and all of a sudden it became more frantic because there had been a strange van around the area. That sounds pretty dramatic, but there was. It was kind of a it was kind of the talk a little bit, you know, at that time. There's this strange vehicle around. Nobody knows who it is. And, you know, you think the worst. Can't find her. It wasn't like her to do that, to run off her. And all of a sudden, the big manhunt was on. It was dialed 911, and we were all running. And I was running through the woods, and I was thinking, we're wasting our time. She was kind of a girly girl, you know, like she didn't like to get dirty, and she, you know, I said, we're wasting our time. She could be halfway to the Confederation Bridge by now, you know, in this van, kidnapped her, you know. It was strange to think something like that back then, but now not so much. The world has gotten pretty crazy. But anyway, there she was. When we had used up all our resources, when we were exhausted, somebody saw just the corner of her face sticking out in amongst these teddy bears. She'd fallen asleep. And no matter how hard her parents yelled in the house, we went through the house and looked, I don't know how many times. And there she was. But she was hiding. She felt guilty. She knew she'd done something wrong. And she was hiding. Man has done that right from the start. Did it in the Garden of Eden. Man still does it today. They don't like to face what they've done. When the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, it means that we're all guilty. We don't like to be told that. This is a gospel meeting. Gospel means good news. But further to be good news, the best news you could ever get tonight, the best thing you could ever realize tonight, is to actually realize where you are on that map. We're placed here because of sin, all heading down. But there is a way out. Sin didn't just end, as we've been telling you, it didn't end there. We can turn over one page. It's one page in my Bible. It's chapter 4, Genesis chapter 4. This is Adam and Eve's children. So Adam and Eve were, you might say, embarrassed about their sin, ashamed. Here's something about their children. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, or very angry, and his countenance fell. You see, God required, and we learn this from Adam and Eve's sin, God required the death of an animal to cover the sin that had been committed. Someone had to die, and blood had to be shed as an offering for that sin. So this is where the sin offering was put in place. So Cain and Abel, you can tell by the story that they're grown up now. One was a tiller of the ground, so he was a gardener or a farmer of maybe cash crops. And Abel, he had the flocks and herds. So he gave of his flock, an offering for God, and it was accepted. But Cain, he tried bringing what he grew in the ground. And God said, that's not what I told you. You're being disobedient. Unto Cain and his offering, verse 5, he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him, or killed him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Cain disobeyed God in the offering. Cain killed his brother. There's sin number two. Terrible sin. Sin number three, he lied about it. Again, God asks a question, where is he? And number four, he says, am I my brother's keeper? Cain is outright, we might call today, sassing. You know, you see his attitude toward God. Just one generation from Adam to Cain, and this is how sin is progressing. We can flip over one more page. We come to the days of Noah, where the wickedness of the whole earth comes up to God as a stench. We can't make ourselves better. We can't turn over a new leaf. We're born sinners, the Bible tells us. And that's just what we are. God cannot have sin in his presence. It's not a nice fact to face. I had no trouble, before I was saved, I had no trouble admitting I was a sinner. I boasted in it. I was kind of like Cain, I guess. Flaunted it. Didn't care attitude. But I also hid. I hid from God. And then all of a sudden, when it dawned on me, after I had heard the gospel from a far better preacher than you're hearing now, of where my sin was taking me, when I realized where I was on that map, and I found out that I was in trouble, my boasting was gone. My pride was gone. And I was searching for a way out. I want to tell you about the one who came from heaven who didn't need to. Sometimes we do things in this life, we're forced to do it. And we don't want to do it, but we're forced. We don't do it willingly. These are just small, meaningless things, maybe. Just, we count it as an annoyance. I don't feel like walking that garbage can way down that long lane out to the end. You know, I got better things to do. Maybe some things are greater than that. But we still don't want to do them. But this one who came from heaven, we read that he had no sin. He's not like Adam. He's not like Eve. He's not like Cain. He's not like me. He never sinned. He loved his father and he honored his father. And there was no sin in him. The capacity isn't there. No matter what temptation was waved in front of him. He proved that when the devil tempted him all those days, 40 days, and then finally he says he was hungered after 40 days. I wouldn't last 4 hours without eating. 40 days he was hungered. And the devil says to him, just see that stone, make it a loaf of bread and eat it. Nope. He referred to Deuteronomy in the Bible, told, fought the devil with God's word. So there's his bodily need. The devil said, surely he'll satisfy his bodily need. Nope. He said, throw yourself off the pinnacle of the temple. There's a whole bunch of people down there, and they'll be amazed when you're not killed. You know, they'll be astonished. So for fame, the fame of it all, he wasn't tempted. My point is, there's nothing that could be put in front of him. It had no effect on him. He walked the dusty roads of this earth and was surrounded. He deliberately engaged with sinners, and it had no effect on him, except that he loved them. So why did he have to die? There's the wise men, or the shepherds, I forget which one, they came and they asked the same question God asked about Adam and Eve. Where is he? Well, I want to see him. And he was the one who was promised from long ago. And they read their Old Testament. They read the Bible. When Eve said, I've gotten a man from the Lord, she was going by what God said, that there's one going to come. And he's going to fix all this. And she thought, well, maybe this is the one. It wasn't. But God promised one would come and fix all this. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And outside the city walls of Jerusalem, when he had spent 3 years going from city to city and teaching and preaching and healing, and showing himself to be God who was made flesh. When he had proven all those things, and without sin, and men hated him. And they cried, well, we will not have this man to rule over us. The kings of the day, they hated him. They thought they call him King of the Jews. He's come to take our place. And they wanted him dead. And the people all cried in unison. Every nation of the earth, the Jews, the Romans, all nations were represented there, and they all cried, crucify him. Crucifixion is the most horrible way of death. To be wounded and stuck up on a cross in the hot sun with bleeding wounds, and to just bake there. And that's what man could do. And the men, they took his clothes, the garments that they stripped off him, and they gambled for them. What they could tear apart, they tore apart, and others that were woven, couldn't be tore apart without ruining them, they gambled for those. They mocked him. They walked by and they... Oh, you know, you look at somebody that's down lower than you, and you kind of think to yourself, oh, shame on them. Yeah, they walked by and said that too. And even the disciples that were with them, they all forsook them. They denied that they'd been with them. And they're alone on the cross. No support. Nothing. Sometimes you can get through a hard time if he got some support. But there was no support for him. And he died there on the cross. You know, today is Easter. I want to read in John 20. There's someone else that was looking for him. It'd be great tonight if you could look for him. You wouldn't have far to look if you just were honest with God. John chapter 20 and verse 1. This is after the Lord Jesus had suffered on the cross and gave up his life, had paid for our sins. But a wonderful transaction was done. And you know, friends, tonight, if you would realize tonight that all that work on the cross was done for you, you wouldn't be on this downward road that you were born on. You'd be put on, you'd enter through the door. That's what the verse says, John 10 and 9. You'd start anew, you would change the trajectory of not, you can't control all humans, but you're responsible for yourself. And that is a fact. Everyone tonight is responsible for themselves. And everyone, as Romans says, is guilty before God. But the price has been paid. Mary Magdalene knew that. She went to the tomb after they had buried him. John 20, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. I guess they thought that someone stole the body. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not laying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. So you'll see that the ones who gave up early, they missed out on something. But Mary, she stayed and she got a blessing. So she wept and stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, and the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. So she recognizes that it was the Lord himself. There is one tonight, right now, who has come to this earth, not because he had to, because he wanted to for your sakes. He led a life of poverty. That's clear in the Bible. He went to the cross after proving to the world that he was God himself. They couldn't deny it. They accused him of it. They said, "Does thou being a man, makest thyself God?" They understood completely, but they just wouldn't accept it. And then they took him and nailed him to a cross. And there was 3 hours of darkness there upon that cross, where man, I'll tell you, man has a point of giving up. And they punished him to a point where they just gave up. And it says they sat down on the ground and watched him. Man did everything they could to him, and then they just backed off. And 3 hours of darkness came upon this earth, and God laid on him the sins of us all. And he paid everyone. Boy, I'm thankful tonight that he paid mine. I wouldn't want any of them brought up. I wouldn't want any of them mentioned, written on the wall. How embarrassing. I'd want to hide. God knows every one of your sins, and they're all written down. It says in the Bible there's a book, and they're all written. But tonight there's also another book. It's the book of life. You could find yourself written in that, and that long list of sins would find itself erased, gone, disappeared, no more. Wouldn't that be wonderful? To not feel that guilt, not feel you have to hide from God. There's a day coming when every one of us will face God. Wouldn't it be terrific to know? If he were to say, "Where are you?" You'd say, "I'm here. I'm glad to see you." And not be hiding from the face of God.